Roll Up Your Sleeves there by Meg Mack. It's 21 to 5. Lucy Braden with you on Drive. I'm wondering if you can remember when you turned 18. Were you still living with mum and dad? Or maybe you just moved in with your husband or wife, about to welcome your first child. That was a common story 30, 40 years ago. But things have changed. Did you know that the period of development from 18 years of age until around 25, maybe even longer, is called emergent adulthood? And that is when a teen is transitioning to adulthood. But our systems and our ways of thinking are all based around people becoming adults at 18. I mean, that's when you kind of think, okay, you can drink now and you can vote and you can pretty much drive a car. But research suggests we don't develop our adult brain until the age of 32. So how do we support people, young people especially, as they make this transition? Turns out there are plans in place, so let's find out what is going on. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Becky Shelley, the Deputy Director of the Peter Underwood Centre. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Tanya Hunt, the CEO of the Youth Network of Tasmania. Welcome.
Hi there.
And Professor Swee Hoon Chua, Director of the Tasmanian Behavioural Lab. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. And get nice and close to those mics so I can pick up all of your beautiful voices. So what made you start looking at emergent adulthood, and what exactly is it? Tanya, I'll start with you.
Thank you. So the Youth Network of Tasmania is a peak body for young people between the ages of 12 and 25 years. And youth participation and engagement underpins absolutely everything that we do. So a couple of years ago, the Tasmanian government engaged us to undertake some consultations to inform the development of the Tasmanian Child and Youth Wellbeing Strategy. And it was during those consultations that there was a theme emerging with young people 18 to 25 years around some of the challenges that they were experiencing as they were attempting to live independently in our communities.
What were some of those challenges?
Some of those challenges included transitioning from education into the workforce, income support, insecure employment, housing solutions, not being able to break into the private rental market, not being prioritised for social housing, but really not understanding the service system at play. So what we found is that many young people, obviously we're used to navigating and accessing a service designed for young people, and when they hit 18, they found that they were having to try and navigate a service system designed for adults. So they really didn't know where to start and where to go for help and support to meet their needs.
Because I'm sure if we all reflect on how and what we were like at 18, I still felt like a child. Yes, I could legally drink alcohol and go out late at night and didn't really have to answer to anyone, but I still felt like a kid. Did anyone else feel like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we were commissioned to work on this literature review about emergent adulthood, I just kept looking back on my own life and thinking about transition points, as Tanya mentioned. So if we think, you know, being able to vote, that's a big transition point and a big responsibility that young people look forward to and embrace. But then things like ceasing education. So at the moment we know people are engaged in education for much longer than perhaps their parents or previous generations. Getting married, people are getting married at an older age, and similarly with having a baby. So these transition points are being pushed out, but our service systems and ways of thinking about young people, our expectations of young people, all pretty much kick in at 18. And so there's this real disconnect between people's lived experience. And, I mean, I kind of jokingly refer to myself as a 50-year-old baby, but what the interesting work that Swee Hoon did on this, and I'll hand over to her to explain it a bit better in terms of the brain science, but even though I might think of myself as a 50-year-old baby, I'm actually drawing on kind of cognitive skills and experiences that someone who's 21 or 24 just doesn't yet have the benefit of.
Well, can we talk about the brain science behind it? Professor Sui-Hoon Chua, you're the director of the Tasmanian Behavioural Lab. How is the Behavioural Lab being involved, getting involved with this?
Well, at the Behavioural Lab, what we do is we study why people do what they do. So we look at the psychology underlying people's behaviour. So for me, it was really interesting because I know when I do my research, I understand behaviour as in just like this whole, right? So it's like a person has system one, has system two. So the system one is their fast behaviour. They are, you know, emotional. They are reactive. They are maybe a little bit impulsive, like the Homer Simpson in us, right? And then there's the system two where it's a little bit more rational, a little bit more controlled, a little bit more level-headed. And that's maybe like the Dr. Spock in us. And when we did this research, it was really interesting because I found that because the brain was still developing, different regions of the brain develop at different rates. So it's uneven. So when you are an adolescent and into emergent adulthood, the part of your brain that's developed a little bit quicker than the other is actually the system one, the Homer bit. So there is, so when you sort of say to a teenager, why are you so impulsive? Why are you so emotional? Why are you so stressed? That's it. They can't really help it. It's
the brain.
It is the brain. And it's because that bit of their brain that controls, you know, their impulsiveness, that system one, is that limbic system, is that old limbic part, that old brain, that the one that we share with actually our animal ancestors, that bit actually is developing a little bit faster than their more rational brain, which is actually going to catch up when they're a little bit more adult. Mm. And so that's why it was really interesting, because we think, yes, we need actually support to help people in this age group, because mentally, that adult bit is still struggling. Their Mr. Spock is still struggling to get home under control.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it ever? I was thinking when my husband and I were talking about when do we start a family? Like, I mean, we already were a family technically, but when do we have a child? Because we always wanted to be parents. But at 30, I still said I'm not ready. I don't feel like I'm an adult, really. Come 32, it happened, and technically that's when, you know, the brain becomes an adult. David Glebe says, Luce, I was a parent at 25. I was reflecting on this the other day. I had no idea what we were doing. My kids survived to the same age, thankfully. So you got them there.
Well done.
Lucy Braden with you on Drive at 14 to 5. Can you remember what you were doing at 18? Where were you in life? Were you still living with your mum and dad? Or maybe, just like Dave at Glebe, you know, in a few years' time, you were married with kids and just trying to work out life. Well, that period of life is called emergent adulthood, where you're like technically an adult, but you are still transitioning to adulthood. And what was it like for you? I'd love to know if you can get involved and tell me where you were in life and what you were up to. 0438 922 936. If you have just joined me, Dr. Becky Shelley is in the studio, Deputy Director of the Peter Underwood Centre, Tanya Hunt as well, the CEO of the Youth Network of Tasmania, and Professor Sui-Hoon Chua, Director of the Tasmanian Behavioural Lab. And we're taking a look at some plans in place, a review that is going on of the literature about emergent adulthood. So, Tanya, what else have you found? Can you talk us through exactly what these findings are? You mentioned a few just earlier.
Sure. So, well, we're in the process at the moment of actually undertaking further consultation with young people and the community more broadly, because we'd like to take a deep dive into what this actually means for young people. Part of that was commissioning the University of Tasmania to undertake the literature review, because we wanted to understand what the academic literature was telling us on this topic.
Was there a lot of it? Did you find?
Yes. Yeah. It's massive, and it's really cross-disciplinary. So I think we've got the cognitive and behavioural elements. There's also, we've drawn on legal understandings, particularly around responsibility kicks in at 18, and we're mindful, you know, you move from a youth justice system to the adult system, political, I mean, you name it, psychiatry. So we really look, had a cross-disciplinary approach. And what's clear is that it is a, there's fuzziness, right? It's not connected necessarily to an age or necessarily to a transition point. But what's clear is that it's kind of very contextual. So my experience of dating and partnering and leaving home is very different. You know, I didn't have AI in my life. I didn't have social networking and dating apps. You know, it's very dynamic, and this is why I think the work that Why Not's doing is so critical. We need to be informed by the perspectives and experiences of young people today. I mean, when I was in my early 20s, there certainly weren't the inflationary pressures that young people are experiencing. So it is really critical. But, yeah, it's a vast literature and complex, and I'm not sure that in terms of policy making and service system design, we've really caught up with the evidence that Sweetheart and I found.
I think what I've took from this is that it's just quite amazing how, you get all this support as a minor up to 18.
Yeah.
And then the moment you turn 18...
They're out on their own. Well,
that stops. Yeah.
And that's exactly right. And I think, older members in society view young people as adults when they hit 18, that age of majority. But young people certainly don't see themselves that way, and they don't necessarily feel equipped to go out and live independently in the world. So we are undertaking some work at the moment to really take a deeper dive into that. And the intention is to develop a whole of government action plan to look at how we can better support our young people as they are transitioning into independence.
Do you have any ideas of how we could better support those young people, adults? I want to say children, but like technically they're not. Because I was talking to a colleague earlier who said, I'm so glad you're looking at this because one of my children has recently turned 18 or is on the cusp of turning 18. And I've said to her, you can stay at home with me as long as you need. Don't feel like you have to now leave the nest. Like, I know you don't feel...
Which is
that old.
Yeah, which is great for that person. There are many young people who don't have that opportunity, which is why it's so important that we do have the right systems and support in place for them. So I think, certainly from our view, we need to see age-appropriate and targeted responses that really do look at the unique needs of young people in Tasmania. And the Tasmanian government are taking steps in that direction. We have the Tasmanian Child and Youth Wellbeing Strategy, and that extends to 25 years of age. The recent announcement of a youth job strategy. So there is recognition that we need to be looking at coordinated, targeted responses. But what is really critical and key is involving young people in the conversation. Often systems and programs and policies are designed by adults that really don't understand some of those challenges that young people are facing. So we're in the process at the moment of connecting with young people 18 to 25 years. We're undertaking a series of workshops. We have an online survey as well that's open until May. And then what we'll do from there is actually have a look at what that's telling us. And the intention is to produce a discussion paper followed by an action plan so that we can really recommend what steps need to be taken to support our young people.
Yeah, do you think there needs to be changes put
absolutely.
In place?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And
what would you like to see?
Yeah. I'd like to see an acknowledgement of this unique period of time in a young person's life. We can argue that transition points start much earlier, and they certainly do. But young people who are transitioning from a youth service system into a system designed for adults are facing different challenges. The support is pulled away, and young people have said to us, I feel like I'm falling off a cliff. I actually don't know how to go, where to go, what's available to me. So that's what we really need to look at. So I think that we can do better, and we need to invest more in supporting our young people in this space.
It's 6 minutes to five. Lucy Braden with you on Drive. Thanks for joining me on the text line. One texter says, I was in the Navy when I was 18 and it was a big change from Hobart. It certainly would have been. Mark from Belrive, you say, when I was 18, I made my senior debut for Sandy Bay in the TFL. I never went out on the town until I was nearly 20. 0438922936. What were you up to when you were 18? What was your life like? And does it differ to the young people today? If you have just joined me, we are talking about emergent adulthood, when a teen is transitioning to adulthood. I mean, technically, you would think that when you turn 18, you are officially an adult. And in some ways, yes, you are. But our brain doesn't develop. Our adult brain doesn't fully develop until the age of 32. And I'm talking about this in the studio with Tanya Hunt, the CEO of the Youth Network of Tasmania, Professor Swee Hoon Chua, Director of the Tasmanian Behavioural Lab, and Dr. Becky Shelley as well, Deputy Director of the Peter Underwood Centre, talking about some plans in place, some work that is being done to, I guess, better support this age group, because it does seem like there's so much support for young people and then for us as adults, but I feel like we kind of missed that age group between 18 to 25.
Yes, I think so. I think if you imagine how they are today compared to how when, well, this was a long time ago when I was 18. I think around, you look at the technology, look AI and internet and all those things. So young people today, there's so much information. Their working memory is full. I mean, it's cognitively.
They're global citizens. Yeah. They're living in a completely different context and living and emerging in a different environment. So it's very different to generations gone by.
Yes.
And so what we need to ensure is that our systems and supports and policies reflect that. Mm. And currently they don't. There's a lot of incongruity at the moment. So young people are told to go out and live their life and to become financially independent. Yet if they need income support, they're not able to do that. Mm. Because it's actually means tested on some occasions against their parents' wealth. So it's there's a lot of incongruency. So I think it's really important that we look at contemporary age-appropriate solutions.
And I think just to add to that, it's, as Swee Hoon's identified, there's this malleability still in terms of their brain. But really the things that are occurring in the young people, young adults' lives then, they're really setting the scene, what this literature showed. It actually is setting the scene for their future economic health and wellbeing outcomes. So whether that's to do with health in terms of their mental health, health in terms of the ways in which housing security connects to mental health and wellbeing outcomes. So all of these things are interrelated, but at the moment it seems, based on what we looked at, really quite fragmented. So there might be system supports for 18 to 25s. If you've got targeted support, if you've got a person with a disability, or if you're a person who is meeting particular eligibility criteria. But to have an actual system that overall recognises this particular cohort of the population as having particular needs, I think that's the gap. So there are some great things happening, but there's certainly more to be done.
Mm, absolutely. We're about to hit the news at 5 o'clock, but just finally, there was a workshop, a two-hour workshop in Hobart that happened a few days ago, but there's also one happening in Launceston soon, if anyone's in the area. 9th of May, is that right?
I believe so, yes. I think it may be fully subscribed. There is an opportunity for young people 18 to 25 to share their views through an online survey.
Oh, excellent.
So I would encourage you to get in touch with us at Why Not. It's www.whynot.org.au and jump online and have a look. There are opportunities to get involved.
And great to hear that this is happening and there is a spotlight being shone on this group, because sometimes it does feel like maybe they are being missed out. So good to hear that the government's kind of stepping in and you know, being proactive about this as well. Just finally, Isaac says, when I was 18, I moved out of home, worked, paid rent in a share house and went to uni full time. No chance any 18-year-old could afford that now. Wow, how things have changed. To the three of you, thank you so much for coming in and for sharing your stories.
Thank you.
And the research as well that you're doing, excellent to hear. That is, and that was, Dr. Becky Shelley from the Peter Underwood Centre, Tanya Hunt from the Youth Network of Tasmania, and Professor Sui Hoon Chua from the Tasmanian Behavioural Lab, looking at emergent adulthood. And certainly it feels like things have changed since we were all 18, perhaps. Lucy Braden with you on Drive. It's almost time for the news at 5.